Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. This is Ryan.
And I am Dak.
And we are without Randy this week, unfortunately. He is on a much-needed sabbatical.
Yeah, he's had a pretty rough week with work and personal life and just getting everything done that he needs to. And so he asked if he could take the weekend off, and we gave him that time off. We accepted his PTO request.
Well, let's give Randy a little props here. So most of you probably know that there was some pretty severe weather that went through much of the United States this past week and a half ago. And he is pretty much the man in charge. That the work crews are out, power is being restored, plumbing's being restored. And I didn't even realize how bad the weather was, because we live south of Houston. North of Houston got hammered.
Yeah.
Pretty badly. I mean, people were without power for about a week.
So, yeah, so Randy was heavily involved in all of the aftermath, and props to him for putting in some long hours and a long week for him. So we wanted to make sure that he could spend some time with his family and make up for time lost with them.
Yeah. We'll get you next time, Randy.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, real fast, before we get on get going on today's topic, man, have you seen did you see the blog post or the announcement on Tiana's Bayou Adventure?
Yeah, so what is it, June 28th, 29th? I can't remember the exact date, but it's opening up, I know, the end of June. What has impressed me the most is the animatronics for this ride. They look phenomenal.
They look phenomenal. And dude, I'm really cool. I don't know if you saw that, how they are not doing the paid lightning lane.
I did not see
It's going to be virtual queue, and it's going to be part of the Genie Plus service.
Nice.
We kind of expected it would be a virtual queue.
Yeah.
Right. I think we kind of thought it'd be a paid lightning lane, because that's just kind of the way they go with new
right.
attractions. But I guess they didn't want to have more than one, no more than one per park policy.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where they're sticking to.
So, and I did hear a rumor that we could expect a standby line probably sooner than we think.
Yeah, I think there'll be your slew of bloggers and Instagrammers and all those that'll rush through, and everybody will want to see it at first. But I would suspect after a few months, the excitement will calm down, and it'll be, you know, kind of like your regular. I mean, ultimately, all they're doing is reskinning it, right? So
yeah,
the ride system is not going to change. So it will be exciting and fun to see it the first time. And then after that, I think the excitement will kind of die down. I've even seen a lot of excitement die down, like, for example, with Tron.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so it just happens. People get used to it, and it just kind of slides right into its spot.
And they're going to pump beignet smells
throughout
the attraction, which, hey, if you know us, we love beignets. And I think they're going to have, like, special beignets at one of the restaurants.
I'm sure.
There,
yeah.
For a time, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, looking forward to Tiana's coming out. I know Disney took some flack for announcing the theming of that attraction, but you know what? Tiana is a great story. It's a great animated classic. I'm okay with it.
And I think it's more relevant for today's audience, right?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
I don't think any of our children or our kids would even know what Song of the South is. So, whereas every single one of them can tell you who Tiana is and Prince Naveen and all of those characters. So if nothing else, it's a good retheming to bring relevance and connectivity to the parks for a younger audience.
Yeah. Well said, Dak.
Thanks.
Well, hey, so let's get into the topic this week. So, you know, I was thinking, just like a couple weeks ago, I was thinking about all of my most recent trips to Disney World. And I've kind of gotten into this habit of, I have my go-to attractions. I'm always going to do Pirates. I'm always going to do Haunted Mansion, Tower of Terror. And I think probably a lot of people are that way, is that they just have their, you know, they're going to go to the parks and they're going to, hey, I'm going to take a left at the Hub, or I'm going to take a left at Epcot and do my routine. And I just got to thinking of, you know, the last time that I did the Carousel of Progress or, you know, Magic Carpets of Aladdin, I'm like, I haven't done those classic attractions in a long time. So it got me thinking about, you know, what are some of the maybe underrated attractions that people skip nowadays? And maybe you're going there for like your first time, or, you know, your second time, and you're, or maybe you're only going there for a day or two, and you're asking, hey, what should I do? What should I not do to kind of maximize my trip? And I just got to thinking, I'm like, you know, there is so much history and charm and culture and nostalgia at Disney that I kind of want to get away from saying, oh, don't do some of those unpopular or underrated attractions. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think not only attractions, but just things to do within the park. So when you kind of threw this topic out to me the other day, it got me thinking about attractions, but also just there's so many things you can do within the parks that don't get the publicity and the star power of, like you mentioned before, Pirates, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Tron, you know, some of these big marquee rides that are typically, you know, associated with Disney and going to Disney World. And yeah, they're definitely not going to be at the top of the list, but there's still some really fun things to do. So I was excited as I started to go through my list of things that are a little bit underrated at the parks that you should definitely, you know, try. Now, that being said, I think if you're there on a one-day trip, or this is your one big trip that you're taking over the next 5 years and you're just going to blow it out at Disney, these maybe not hit your list. But I think if you're, you know, going and have some extra time, or you're there multiple days, these should definitely hit your list.
Okay. Well, let's hit it. All right. So you want to go first? What do you got? How about we just kind of alternate?
Yeah. That's fine.
All right. What do you got?
So my first one actually was an attraction. It's found in the Magic Kingdom. It's Mickey's PhilharMagic.
Oh, yeah.
So to kind of describe this for those of you who may have not experienced this or haven't in a
this
while.
This has been kind of your thing.
This is my baby.
You kind of like to do this one, yeah.
So I like it. So just to describe it, it's a, I think they call it a 4D experience. So you go into a little theater, you put on 3D glasses, and you watch a little show, but then also during the show, they're pumping out smells and sometimes spritzing you with water as the show goes on during different parts of it. But essentially, it's a show about Donald putting on the sorcerer's Mickey hat and having a little adventure. I think the reason why I like it so much is because, first of all, it's fun. It's very playful, the show itself. But it's a nice, cool break from the heat. Sometimes you can go in and just relax and get off your feet for a while and watch a great show. People are singing along because they're playing some of the classic Disney songs from different Disney movies, and so it's just a lot of fun to me. So I'd say don't sleep on Mickey's.
Don't sleep on Mickey's PhilharMagic.
Love it. All right, I love it. It's great.
So I'm gonna say I'm gonna include all of the quote unquote spinny rides as one.
Okay.
Now, I gave up spinny rides a long, long time ago. And what I mean by spinny rides is like the Astro Orbiter, Dumbo, Mad Tea Party, you know, Magic Carpets of Aladdin. You could throw in the Alien Swirling Saucers. Those rides that kind of spin you around.
Yeah, yeah.
They're kind of, you know, they're different themes, but they're all accomplishing the same concept, which is they're trying to make you sick and yeah. throw up, right?
Yeah, they're mostly associated with, you know, kid rides, like you mentioned.
Yeah, but I would say you probably, you know, do you need to do all of them? Well, I mean, you know, if you have kids that love those kind of attractions,
yeah, you need to.
But I would say they probably do lean more towards an underrated attraction. Do I need to do all of them? No, but I think on my next trip, I'm going to say, you know what? I haven't done Dumbo in a long time.
Really?
I haven't done Magic Carpets of Aladdin in a long time. I haven't done the Astro Orbiter since I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, partially because I don't like to get in that elevator because I'm claustrophobic. So I would say one of the spinny rides definitely would be an underrated attraction that you probably should not skip.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Awesome. So my next one is a little bit off the attraction beaten path, and that is midday breaks.
Oh, okay.
So totally different vibe than what we're talking about as far as attractions. But one thing that I think is totally underrated when you go to visit a Disney park is taking a midday break of some kind, whether that's going back to your hotel room, going back to the pool, going back to your, you know, hotel if you're staying offsite, VRBO, whatever it is. But what I have found is that a lot of people, when they book a Disney vacation, it's, I mean, there's a cost factor. Obviously, we've talked about that before. And so they want to, for good reason, they want to maximize every ounce of time that they're there. And they don't want to, you know, they don't want to waste their money by leaving the parks, right? Because when you leave the parks, it's a good, you know, 2, 3, sometimes even 4 hour adventure, right? By the time you get out to your car, get to wherever it is that you're going or your bus and get back to the hotel and then take your break, it's a significant amount of time. And for a lot of people, all they're seeing is dollar signs flashing in front of their eyes of like, oh my gosh, we spent this much money and we're sitting here at the pool. We could have swam at our local community pool.
Yeah.
But the reason why I think that it's underrated is because it does so much for you, you know, as a family and as a group, to be able to just relax, get away from the crowds and kind of unwind a little bit and get re-energized. So I'm a big fan of taking a midday break of some kind, even if it's pulling off to the side in the parks and finding a nice air-conditioned restaurant and just chilling. Right? Like, don't scarf down your food or whatever. Just actually take a break and get out of the heat and the crowds and the sun and all that.
Yeah, I think that's become more of a popular thing. I probably was anti that for a while during our first few years of being consistent Disney goers. But I really have embraced that. Probably a lot to do with my wife, too. My wife is, you know, I think she kind of introduced me to that concept of, you know, if we're not going to do a midday break, then let's not go to the park until after lunch. Let's let some of that early morning crowd levels die down, and then we can go after lunch and spend the rest of the day there. So I think yeah, building in a midday break or kind of, doing your time, I guess bracing yourself for the day at the park. If it's going to be 95 degrees, you want that midday break or go a little bit later.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, I think for us, and then I'll just pass the baton back over to you. I think for us and me, I was this way for sure in the beginning. I was up, you know, we were trying to be one of those rope drop to close families and just trying to maximize every penny and every dollar out of our visit. And what I found is that by day three, everybody hated each other. And it was just like, what are we doing here? Like, we're on this family vacation, but no one's having fun. And then once I let that guard down and just realized that, hey, you can still really enjoy the parks with a nice, relaxing approach to it. You can still rope drop if you want to rope drop. You can still stay till park close if you want to, but having some sort of break really helps with that. So that's my pitch. Don't feel like you have to go 100 miles an hour the whole time.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So, man, I've got one that is kind of weird, right? And I think I came up with this because it's going to be going away, I think, pretty soon. And this is, man, tell me what you think of this. The Frontier Shooting Arcade.
What I think is I have never, ever done that. So this is a great one because when you talk about something that's underrated and people mostly skip, that's a great example.
How many times have you been to the Magic Kingdom and just walked right by?
Thousands.
I wonder how many people even know there's a shooting arcade.
I'm being facetious when I say thousands, but you know what I mean.
I know, like, what you mean.
Every
I know
time.
What you mean.
Every time. I've never done it.
I've done it maybe twice.
Okay.
And you know, it's so this shooting arcade, it is what it's described as. It is this shooting arcade. It's one of those old fashioned, you know, there's probably 15 rifles and they shoot lasers, right? Mm-hmm. So you have all this old Western back, you know, town backdrop that's probably, you know, 20, 25 feet away from the rifle range. And you shoot little targets and the targets will light up. They may move. You get, you know, I don't even think it keeps score, you know, but it's one of those things that it's probably going to go away because when I walk past it, you may see three or four people, you know, enjoying it. You know, it, to me, it's just reminiscent of that kind of that old time Disney. Like, you know, I don't want to say, because Walt was a visionary. He was progressive. He was always like forward thinking. You know, the parks are never going to be finished. So just with that mindset, we know that things are going to be removed at some point. You know, at some point, they're going to remove something that we thought they would never remove.
Yeah.
And it's going to just be gut wrenching for us. I'm not saying the shooting arcade is going to be gut wrenching when they remove it, but to me, it's kind of a throwback to the old days of Disney.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, listen, next time I go to Disney, I got to do the shooting arcade. I think for old time's sake.
Yeah. All right.
So I don't know. Take that for what it's worth.
You're right. That is an interesting
one. And if
one.
You've never
not,
been...
Not if, one that hit my radar at all.
And I tell you, if you don't know what we're talking about, the shooting arcade, it's right next to...
it's in Frontierland.
It's what's the Diamond Horseshoe restaurant? So sandwiched in between the Diamond Horseshoe and Pecos Bill. You know, it's there. it's, you know, it's easy to miss.
All
you're
right.
Not looking for it. So
there you go. All right. So my next one that... Maybe for me, this is kind of a like, don't sleep on it sort of thing. Like, don't miss it. So, or don't just walk past it. So kind of in the same vein as your shooting arcade, I'm going to say street shows and street performers within the parks. So a couple that kind of hit my list were...
Dude, I miss these all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're running to your next ride or your next attraction or show or dinner reservation or whatever. And, all over each of the parks, there's street performers. Now, there used to be more, and sadly, some of those went away with COVID and never came back, but there's some great performers and street shows that go on. So a few that hit my list are, of course, the big ones, Dapper Dance. You know, that's a great show just to take a minute and stop and watch them perform. The Main Street Philharmonic.
Marching band.
That's the big marching band, yeah. The other one that's really fun is I had to look up their names, but they're actually called the Cora Tinga Tinga. Those are the Animal Kingdom performers right there outside of the safari. I don't know if you've ever seen them. They play drums like it's a show. One dude's got a whistle and he's like going to town on it, and they'll pull people from the crowd and teach them how
they're
to
amazing.
Dance. It's a lot of fun. And I mean, I've seen people that are like rushing to get by to go to their next attraction.
Well, because the Kilimanjaro Safaris is right there.
Yeah. And so they're just, you know, rushing by. And I'm thinking, dude, you're missing some fun. Have you ever, one time they pulled me out there and, you know,
were you dancing with them, Deck?
I don't know that I'd call it dancing. It kind of looked more like I was having a bit of a seizure. That's the best I can do when it comes to dancing. But
dancing like Chandler Bing from the Friends.
Yeah, that's right.
Friends.
Like Carlton from Fresh Prince. Those are some 90s throwbacks for those of you who are younger. But anyways, even in some of the resorts, they have some great performance. Like if you go into the Grand Floridian, there's typically a pianist there and he's playing and it's just beautiful, right? You go out to Riverside Resort there and they have this guy called Yeehaw Bob, and he does all kinds of performances. And just, I would just, again, this is kind of on the same line as taking a midday break. Don't be afraid to stop during the middle of your day and watch one of these shows and street performers. There's some really funny ones at Hollywood Studios. Just they dress up in like 1920s outfits and they tell jokes and stuff like that. Just really good stuff to take advantage of.
You know what?
This
is a great one because I feel like the acrobat over at French Pavilion, that goes up, like he or she will stack, you know, tables and chairs, and you know I've seen both. The guy over at the Italy Pavilion that juggles the balls, and he's amazing.
Yeah.
The Chinese acrobats
They're crazy.
You talk about you know how you can extend your day is by catching some of these. The guy that plays the piano at Casey's Corner there at the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember his name either,
but he's amazing.
Yeah, he's so really good. So good. And they'll typically take, like, requests or... it's great. At I know we're mostly focusing on Disney World, but at Disneyland, in their Golden Horseshoe, they have a guy that comes out and plays a old ragtime piano type of sound, and he interacts with the audience as well. And it's just
Diamond Horseshoe, the restaurant.
There in Frontier.
Called it differently.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, so don't sleep on the shows or the midday, or excuse me, the street performers. They're great.
I love that one. All right. So, I got one that may not be, again, talking about your midday break, right? We kind of joke on this podcast. Randy jokes, you know, probably more than we do about taking a nap during the Carousel of Progress. Hey, it's nice and comfy in there. It's air conditioned. It's a slow hum of the rotating, rotating seats. It's very easy to go in there and just and kind of dismiss the show and get a nap in. But again, this is one of those classic attractions. I mean, this was part of the New York World's Fair.
Yeah.
Like, this was something that they approached Disney. Hey, we need an attraction. Actually, we need four attractions. Can you help us out? And he's like, well, I got this idea. And they came up with this Carousel of Progress, which is just this journey through four or five different decades, right? It's really interesting. Again, it's a throwback to the the early days of Walt Disney World. And it could be easy to skip on because, well, it's a show. It's, you know, kids may not like it. It's kind of a slow show. But I tell you what, again, just kind of touching on that nostalgia factor, kind of tugging at their heartstrings a little bit.
Like, yeah.
You know, it's just a great, great show that I would say, listen, if you haven't seen it in a while, or if you're going to Disney World for your first time, you absolutely need to see the Carousel of Progress.
Cool. I like it. All right. I got a few more. This one is maybe in line with your arcade shooting gallery. Not going to hit the top of most people's lists. And the reason why is because it's an added expense. But I'm saying special events and tours. That's going to be one that is, I think, highly underrated. Because I think people see that extra cost and they're like, wait a minute, I'm already spending $X a day going to the parks because these are additional ticketed activities and costs. But some of these things that you can do are just awesome. So one we've done together is the cake decorating at Amorettes. It's like $200 a person. It's not cheap, but it is a lot of fun. It'd be a great date night activity, I think, or midday date type of activity for you and your special someone to go decorate a cake at Amorettes. Another fun one that I've done, we tried to get you on it, but it's the Keys of the Kingdom tour.
Oh, that's right. So, you and James did that.
Yeah, James and I did this, one of my buddies and one of our buddies, and it's great. It's you get matched up with a special tour guide. You go all through the Magic Kingdom, and it's kind of a behind-the-scenes tour. You get to go down underneath in the Utilidors. You get to go backstage behind some of the attractions. And our tour guide was awesome because she was just a wealth of Disney history and knowledge. And so as we would go around to different places within the Magic Kingdom, she would give us a lot of history and a lot of facts and a lot of tidbits. And so it was really, really interesting. So if you're into that, there is an age limit because they want to keep the magic alive for little ones. So you have to be a certain age to be able to go on these, but it's a lot of fun. And that one runs you about $130 to $150 per person. Again, it's an added cost. You still have to have a ticket to get into the Magic Kingdom. So you're basically doubling up there. But it's so much fun. And then the other one that I would mention, I haven't done this, but I've seen people doing it, and that's you can do an African trek. And that's the one, I'm sure you've seen it, where you can like go across the little rope bridge over the crocodiles, and then you get to eat out on the savannah there at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that grass.
But there's tons of other tours. So if you ever are interested in what you can do, you just go to the Disney World or just Google Disney World tours, and it will bring up a whole list of different tours and events that you can do. Lots of fun. If you have an extra throwaway day and want to go see something interesting, and you're a deep cut Disney fan, I'd say absolutely take advantage of some of these tours.
All right. All right. So I've got a few more. You know, I'm looking at my list here. I made a list. I got like 13. We're not going to go over all 13, obviously. You know what? I think one thing, again, because I'm afraid that it's going to be taken away soon. Well, they've already reduced the show times. This is Impressions de France.
Oh.
So the movie there at the France Pavilion at Epcot, that, you know, right now it's mostly used for the Beauty and the Beast sing-along. But, you know, prior to that, it was 100% used for Impressions de France, which was a movie that was made late 70s, early 80s. And you just sit in this big theater, and it's a musical journey with lots of really famous composers, classical music, and they just kind of take you through the French countryside, some markets. It's really just a really relaxing, kind of a sentimental show. And now it's, there's like two show times a day.
Yeah.
Like, it's really disappointing that I've never seen the Beauty and the Beast sing along. I guess I'm protesting because they've taken out, you know, showtimes for Impressions de France, which used to be one of my favorite. I mean, still is one of my favorite shows. So again, you're going to Epcot, you got to see the show. I think they're going to take it away at one point.
Yeah, this hit my list as well. I lumped them all together with the World Case country shows. So
World Case?
World Showcase. Sorry, thanks.
It's early morning, we're recording. Yeah.
So the World Showcase shows in general. So I know China has one as well. Canada has one. Yeah. You mentioned France. So definitely these are like, again, midday break when it's hot and you're tired and you just need to get off your feet and relax, maybe catch a little bit of snooze or whatever. But they are just so great. And they're in what's called circle vision. And so when you step into this theater, you're basically surrounded by this show. And it is a great show. All of them are. And so I had that on my list as well.
So maybe we can expand that to not snooze on the World Showcase.
Don't snooze.
In general.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay. All right. Oh, it's your turn.
Sorry. Okay. So the next one I had was in, I'm going to skip that one. What I'm going to go with next is getting off the beaten path, getting off the main routine. So I think, again, kind of going back to your original thought, I think when we go to Disney or when people go to Disney, they just get into this groove or rut of like, okay, I'm going to Pirates, then I'm going to swing over to Big Thunder Mountain, and then I'm going to swing over to Haunted Mansion. And you just get in this routine and you're just go, 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 and you're trying to maximize your day, which, again, I don't discredit anyone for doing that. What I personally love to do is just get off that beaten path, get away from the crowds, and notice some of the details that the Imagineers lace into the parks. So, for example, there's an amazing trail that you can take in the Animal Kingdom that will walk you right up next to the Tree of Life, and you can see all the details of the carvings within the Tree of Life. It's beautiful, and it's quiet, and I would say most of the time I've ever been on it, I've maybe ran into two or three other people. So it's a good little break. Another one in the Magic Kingdom is Tom Sawyer Island.
Oh, I love
Tom
Sawyer Island.
You just go out there, get away from the crowds, let the kiddos run around and play. There's tons of things to do out there for them.
Play hide and seek in the fort.
Yes, there's
in the
so
caves.
Much. And then speaking of the World Showcase, we just talked about this. You know, just going a little bit further back into some of those countries, Canada, Morocco, China, those showcases go, or World Showcase countries go, I'm having a hard time with the World Showcase today. they go a little bit deeper. Like if you go back into Morocco, there's some beautiful tile work and all of that, that again, is it exciting and like your kids are going to be thrilled? Probably not, but it's really neat stuff if you're into it and want to see some of the details and the layers of what the Imagineers have done to create some beautiful pavilions. Like back in Canada, we've talked about this on the show before. There's a huge old waterfall.
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. And so just, and there's places like this all over the parks. I'm only hitting a few because we have a limited amount of time here, but just getting off the regular path and finding some of the details that exist in the parks that maybe 100 people will ever see total, but they still put it in there for that reason, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So I think maybe, because you just said that.
Maybe one or two more each.
Yeah, one or two more. Let's do two more. I was going to say, look at the animals, like the Maharaja Jungle Trek.
Yeah.
The Gorilla Falls Trail kind of goes along with what you said, kind of getting off the beaten path. Those are things that I think people skip all the time because, I mean, depending on the time of day, you could do those trails and not see anything.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know.
And it's a walkthrough.
It's a walkthrough.
Yeah. You know? And so I think a lot of people are like, oh, you just walk through and it feels more zoo-ish than.
Yeah.
Animal Kingdom-ish.
Yeah.
Right? But there's some awesome stuff on those trails.
I've yet to see the Komodo dragon. They say there's one there.
Oh, I've seen him. He's huge.
I have no doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
The gorillas are huge. The tigers are huge. I'm like, but you have to catch those at the right time of day.
Yeah. Just quick story, if that's okay. It's like one time we were on the Gorilla Falls trail, and it was early in the morning, and it was about the time that they were letting the gorillas out for the first time of the day. And I don't know if you've seen this before, but the Imagineers or the cast members, not the Imagineers, the cast members, they'll go out and they'll hide their food in their enclosure. And so it's so cool because the gorillas come out and they're like searching all around and trying to find their. And then once they find it, they just kind of plop down and chill like a dad. And
the gorillas are
munch on their, you know, whatever it is, mango or whatever it is that they're feeding them. And it's just awesome.
Yeah, the gorillas are pretty funny.
Yeah.
All right. So, all right, let me pick. I got a big list here. Let me look at two more. I'm going to say, and I don't know if this is underappreciated or under, what's the word we're using?
Under-demiciated.
undervalued.
Yeah,
I think maybe Walt
Disney. Don't sleep on them.
Yeah, don't sleep on them. Walt Disney Presents there at Hollywood Studios. Again, I don't know. I think it's probably to a lot of Disney fans, one of those places that you kind of hold in reverence.
Yeah.
Because it does kind of go into a little of the. It's like a little museum. There's some of Walt's artifacts there. There's some scale models of Disneyland, Disney World. It's really a fun little museum that you can walk through. And it honestly takes you. I mean, you probably could spend 20 minutes tops if you really were to take your time walking through. Typically, we can do it in about 5 to 10 minutes. And then at the very end, there is a movie. It's a 15-minute movie, One Man's Dream, that kind of talks about, you know, Walt's original vision for the parks and how he got started with animation and whatnot. So again, I think it's one of those things that if you're going to Disney or you're sitting down, you're planning your trip, hey kids, what do you want to do? One Man's Dream, Walt Disney Presents, probably will not pop up on your radar. It's not going to hit your radar, but it literally, as you're walking in Hollywood Studios, you go right, go past where the Little Mermaid show is. It's right there on your way to Toy Story Land.
Yeah.
You can't miss it. You can miss it because one door, right?
Yeah.
And there's usually a cast member that stands outside. There's a marquee on top, Walt Disney Presents. It's really just one of those throwbacks to, again, let's give Walt some credit and some recognition for what he has done, for his vision. Take a few minutes, walk through, see his animator's desk that he had. See the replica of the multi-plane camera that's in there. That was cutting edge revolutionary technology at the time. How Walt created a new animation style with this camera. So I would say don't sleep on Walt Disney Presents One Man's Dream.
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that is, like, my girls loved it from a perspective of, you know, their 6th grade or 5th grade project. Every single one of our girls picked Walt Disney.
Yes.
And so for them to go through and, like, not just be reading the book about it, but actually see pictures and part of his life. And it's not a YouTube video. It's like they're actual tangible things that they can see and look at and, you know, kind of walk around. And so they loved it. Like, they loved being able to actually see the museum of Walt Disney.
And they usually have some sort of a movie art, like whatever their current movie of the time is, they're going to have some articles of clothing. I remember going there when they were just releasing Beauty and the Beast, and they had Belle's yellow dress.
Yeah.
Which was, for me, Belle's my favorite princess. Beauty and the Beast is my favorite, one of my favorite Disney movies, both the animated classic and the live action. So to see her dress was awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. All right, let's do one more each. So I got a couple. I got one like wait in the queue at Everest. Like don't do single rider, because I think the queue at Everest is one of those queues where they really have done it up to make it seem like you're trekking up through the mountains of Nepal up to Everest. It's really cool. I won't go, but I think I'm gonna say let's do the conservation station at.
That was my next one. Yeah. So my next one was Rafiki's Planet Watch. Yeah. So you got to hop on the train at Animal Kingdom. There's a little train within the parks.
I wonder how many people know there's a train at Animal Kingdom.
You can hear it sometimes, but yeah, I think you're right. I think most people are just, again, they're running to Everest. They're running to Pandora. You know, they're trying to, which again, we keep saying this, but for good reason, right? Like you want to experience some of these big marquee rides of Animal Kingdom, but Rafiki's Planet Watch is just so great. Like you get on this little train, it's probably a 10-15 minute ride out there, maybe not even 15 minutes, and you get to see some of the behind the scenes animal enclosures and stuff like that along the way. But then once you get out there, it's great. Like there's a live veterinarian clinic that's going on. And so, I mean, we've been out there when they've been working on like some of the tigers and some of the bigger cats, and it's awesome.
Yeah. 'Cause
you get to watch them do live procedures or just checking on animals. So it's really cool.
And they have I don't want to call it a petting zoo, but they do have, I think it's just pretty much goats and sheep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't think of another animal they have back there, but they're just running around bumping into each other, and you get to pet them and feed them. And it's really cool. And they had the Chippendale. Well, again, it's one of those places we haven't been to in a while, because, you know, the last train they close it up pretty early.
Yeah.
I think like 4 or 4:30. So, after that, you're not going to be able to get out there. So you have to do it fairly early in the day. Chippendale, they used to have a Chippendale meet and greet there. I'm not sure if they still do. I would imagine they still do.
Yeah.
They're still doing meet and greet. So Chippendale's out there. The petting zoo, like you said, the concert, the getting to see the scientists and the veterinarians working and, you know, performing, you know, surgeries and everything like that on these animals. So it's a pretty, pretty cool experience.
I would say, honestly,
it doesn't, it's only about a 7 minute train ride out there and 7 minutes back. It is one of those things that maybe you've seen it in the My Disney Experience that you're like, well, you know, I don't want that to take up too much. It really doesn't take up that much time.
Yeah.
So
my last one was, for me was, it's called Winged Encounters. So it's right there in front of the Tree of Life. It's where they have the macaws come out. And I just, every time I have to do it when I go to Animal Kingdom. So it's usually every hour on the hour or every hour on the half hour. And what will happen is they have a couple of cast members that come out, and then two macaws come in, they fly in and they land on their little pogo stick thing that they have that holds the birds. And then all of a sudden, we did it the last time we were there on our guys trip, probably 20, 30
there's a lot.
Macaws come flying in, and it is just, it's magical. Like, it's so great.
I don't know how they do it.
So they just train them. They train them to do on this flight path, and then whenever they're done, they just all take off at the same time, and it's just, it's crazy. And they come in hot, like they're right above your heads, and if you're not paying attention, you'll feel like they're gonna hit you. But I've never seen somebody get conked in the head with one of these macaws. But
yeah, we'll have to. I do have a slow motion video of that.
I have one as well. Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Well, cool. This is, I think we do have a magical scenario, but we'll get to that in just a second. So, yeah, again, guys, if you're planning a trip, if you haven't been back in a while, you know, do some research. Maybe try to go do some of those things that you haven't done in a while. Some of those maybe underappreciated, underrated. That's the word I was looking for earlier. Underrated.
Yeah.
Man, it's early. All right, let's get into our magical. You have the magical scenario.
Yeah, so pretty simple one. It's kind of a what would you do, or which do you enjoy the most? And so that is, you know, some of the best times I think at Disney is at night or right as it's starting to get dark. And so my question for you for our magical scenario this week is, Which is your favorite park to go to after dark?
All of them. So here's the thing. Favorite park is going to be Magic Kingdom. There, to me, nothing beats walking down Main Street, being around the hub at night. But there are other parts, like, for example, Pandora at Animal Kingdom is amazing at night. And unfortunately, you know, because that park closes so early, it's hard to get the full darkness effect most of the year. Walking around the World Showcase at night is amazing. Because now with the new lighting concepts they have with Spaceship Earth, that's beautiful at night. The Journey of Water, Moana's Journey of Water at night was amazing. Hollywood Studios at night is amazing. Like, it's all amazing at night. If I had to pick one, give me Main Street. Just give me Main Street.
Yeah, that's where I would go to. I mean, I have saved on my phone for someday whenever I come into a little bit of extra funds, these special twinkling Christmas lights that they have. I love to pattern some of my backyard after that, right? Like, they have, it's just so magical, right? So they have these lights that are in the trees and they just have kind of a soft twinkle to them.
Yeah, so those lights that are around the trees in the hub.
Right? Yes, yeah. And it's just so magical and so calming almost. I love Magic Kingdom.
Those are really
cool.
And they're pretty expensive, aren't they?
They're very expensive, yeah. So like I said, once I hit the lottery, I'll just pattern my whole backyard after the Magic Kingdom.
Well, once you hit the lottery, how about you just, you know, let's just buy us all annual passes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There
you go. Maybe get us a couple DVC resorts.
There you go.
Anyway. Well, hey, guys, thank you so much for joining us this week. Listen, this is your first episode, if you just found us, go on to... hit that little follow button on your podcast platform. That way you get automatically downloaded or notified when these new episodes drop. We drop them every Wednesday. Check us out on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. We post little funny videos every now and then about ourselves. So anything else?
Yeah, give us a like and a follow, and thanks for listening in. We hope you enjoyed the show today.
All right, later.